you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to the second hour, an hour of power at Take No Prisoners on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're here every Sunday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The download of this program is available immediately after the broadcast ends. In fact, I think the download consists of two separate MP3s, and I think the first hour is available right now, although I'd rather you listen live and call in and share your questions and wisdom with me, of course. My apologies that I haven't gotten to the phones here. And sometimes I realize people want to hear the technology. I've had many people say that I'd rather just hear you speak on the technology. That's what we get the most of. But believe me, you get plenty from, and sometimes I think more from, the dialogue of a call, because you get to hear people spontaneously talk about the experiences and demystify the procedures that they have been subjected to and that they are attempting. And you'll find out that they usually do pretty well. We spoke before, I think at about the halfway point of the first hour, about the question of knowing who you are and being cautious in undertaking these procedures. I received these two contrasting emails this week which exemplify that concept. One was somewhat critical of my friend Winston, saying I tried Winston's process and this particular thing didn't work. And the same has been said about my process. This didn't work. And the minute I saw the words Winston's process, I knew what the problem was. Because the problem, as I see it, is that that party used Winston's approach instead of his approach. You can't use Winston's approach or my approach or Jack's approach or Sam Davis's approach or anybody's approach. Those are educational ideas from which your wisdom must spawn. Once you've read it and mastered it, and once you send me questions that say, hey, Sam, what if we use this way? Now I know that you're owning the process. If you send me an email, and I get hundreds of them every day, that says, on page one we have, should the surety be the same party as this? Why is that in upper and lowercase letters? If you're asking all those technical questions, then you don't yet own the process. And that's not bad to ask those questions. That's how you learn to own it. But if you start saying, hey, why don't we turn this around and apply this in that situation, and why couldn't we do a class action with this and do that, this, that, or the other thing, then I know that you're thinking creatively. And let's face it, all the great masters in every field, all the great religious sages, they were creative. Has there been anyone more creative than Christ? Think of the brilliant statements that regularly fell from Christ's lips, and you'll understand how much he owned and earned his status as the Son of God. He took the divinity and lived it. He just as easily could have balked and run away from his divine destiny, because we all have the opportunity to dishonor the challenges that are put before us, even the Son of God. So it's important to really own that technology and make it your own. Now, here's a very brief paragraph from an email I received with the complete opposite flavor, and it said, you best wait until after the break. My friends, we have about 50 minutes left in the program. Please stay with us. We are going to cover the rest of this notary technology and show how you can easily turn a case around using one particular application of the notary's certificate.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back. The second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Continuing along, this fellow sent me a very brief email, and it said, you are indeed, Sam, you are indeed a man after my own heart. I have absolutely no intentions of using your material or anyone's material for that matter until I personally understand the details of how, why, when, where, and if of the entire process. I am very eager to employ the bonding process, but my eagerness drives me to learn, not to attempt utilization. Now, isn't that a brilliant statement? My eagerness, excuse me, drives me to learn, not to attempt utilization. So, that said, let's return to the notary process. Now, think what we just did. We just packaged up a letter that said to an attorney who attacked a notary with a criminal complaint, which, by the way, if I were going to use, I would leave unsigned. I would put a line through the signature area. I might not even put my name on it at all at this point. And I would write right on it in red ink diagonally, proposed draft copy for your review. And you can even say in the letter, well, I'm going to ask you to review the criminal complaint and identify any defects in it, and if I don't hear from you within 4 days or 10 days, whatever the deadline, I will assume that you are in agreement with the filing of this document before the grand jury. Now, we could expand this process. We could have a notary provide it, A notary makes due presentment, and then 10 days later, when he fails to respond, certifies that he received warning, he received notice that his failure to respond would comprise his agreement. Notice, the notary is not saying he has stipulated his agreement with the document. The notary is saying that he received notice that his failure to respond would comprise his agreement with all terms, provisions, and facts therein. That's why this is just another example of how potent a notary certificate can be. You take that notary certificate, you attach it to the criminal complaint, you add a paragraph to the criminal complaint, and it says, after paragraph 4, paragraph 5 might say something like, Mr. Jones, on such and such a date, Jane Doe, as agent for the Secretary of State, certified that Mr. Jones has confessed to the aforementioned violations of Title 18 United States Code and has agreed to the presentation of this criminal complaint to the grand jury and has agreed to submit to its jurisdiction and penalties. And how do you get that agreement? You send it to him in the letter again and then have the notary certify it. Do you see the power of the notary certificate? I'm inventing technology as I'm talking right now, and you should be doing the same thing, because the notary will allow you to, the notary's powers and authorities will allow you to receive certification by a United States official that a party has been properly noticed and failed to respond when they had the opportunity to plead and did not, that they would be offering their agreement, stipulation, admissions, confessions, however you word it, to all terms and provisions herein, or you can be specific, will comprise your agreement to your confession to the crimes note, to all of the crimes noted herein, and your agreement to the filing of a criminal complaint thereof and to submit voluntarily to its the jurisdiction of the grand jury, and you can even name the name of the court, and to all penalties therefrom. Now you have a plea bargain in your hand, and you can call it a plea bargain. Sorry, I'm getting all excited because these ideas are just crossing my mind now. That's why I sometimes say there's an infinite number of technologies at our disposal, and we just went through three or four of them, boom, boom, boom. You can make it that much more interesting. Now you can see why I view the attorney's attack on the notary to be a golden opportunity to demonstrate to him that this time he's barking up the wrong tree. So that when I deliver to him a promissory note with an appointment of fiduciary and require him to execute certain performance, that poor guy is suddenly sitting in a terrible scenario, especially if he backed down on his first situation, because he will understand that I know who I am, and I'm not going to play a game of chicken with him that I don't intend to win. If I have to, I'll let the cars crash head to head, but I will not back away from him. And that's very, very scary, especially if your letter is constructed in such a way that he suddenly gets his first dose of public policy, makes a couple of phone calls, and is awakened to the fact that everything that he's been taught has been a fiction. So every time there's a stupid move by a clerk, a judge, a clerk sends documents back. Better yet, a clerk sends pleadings back. We return it with a we return it with an administrative remedy, with a notary's letter of due presentment, attached to which is our foreign advisory saying, here is my affidavit of negative averment as your opportunity to disprove the assumption that you have tampered with evidence, attempted to influence an officer of the court, executed official misconduct. There's a million things you can do, and that's when you quote statutes. You just look them up, and they're all in the same section for your particular state, or you can, even though it's a state, you can be quoting them for federal problems. Next thing you know, you're filing a complaint, a civil complaint in federal court with a summons or a bill of particulars in admiralty requesting that they come in under oath and explain what happened to the funds. What happened to those pleadings? Why did they reject pleadings? Did they have authority other than a judge telling them to break the law? Did they know the law exists after they were warned in the follow-up pleading? Why did they not make correction? And on and on and on. However, we have never, ever sent papers that were rejected by a clerk back to her with a process like that and had them returned to us a second time. And what does that prove to you? It just goes to show you, when you present notary process to them, not hysterically, you do it magnanimously, graciously, and you don't say, here's an affidavit of negative averment. You need to rebut every paragraph, in particular, paragraph by paragraph, or else you will have confessed to this. Instead, you say, this is your opportunity to disprove the assumption that you've been a bad boy or a bad girl. They get the message real fast that they're not playing around with a little Abner. And that's not meant to be offensive to any of my hillbilly friends who are listening tonight. So that's just some of the power of a notary certificate, and I hope you can taste it in your mouth the same way I can. And I think we should probably move on to a notary certificate right now, and let me see if I can find one very quickly. Actually, before we move on to the certificate, I'd like to move on, since we've spoken about certificates. Well, let me just mention, I use a standard certificate that any bank in the state of New York would use, and it's available to you in, I believe the book is Pambino's. It's really a financial document, Pambino's Notary Handbook, P-O-M-B-I-N-O apostrophe S, and I include that manual on my CDs as well. But I add a little box, a separate box set off at the bottom. And that box has a double border around it, and it gives a very brief summary that any judge can look at of, here are the documents that I presented, a foreign advisory request for this or that, or rescission of appearance bond, whatever it may be. If I've given 10 or 15 documents, I pick the two or three most important. And one of them might be Schedule D, default confessions, stipulations, and admissions. Or it might be Schedule C, confession of judgment. So he sees immediately what he's dealing with. And then below that, there's a little certification, an added certification by the notary. It might say something like, on or about such and such, the named party was presented with the above documents, and upon and were given notice that their failure to respond would comprise their, and it couldn't say anything after that, that would be tailored to your process, would comprise their confession of a theft of funds in the from the special maritime jurisdiction, comma, having failed to plead as of this particular date. So we're basically letting whomever this document will visit see that they've received notice, they had opportunity to plead, which has expired, and they have therefore defaulted on the process and are in complete agreement with all terms, provisions, confessions, admissions therein. All right. So now that we've mentioned the notary certificate, we have a break coming up in about 30 seconds. So this is a very good time to break. When we come back, folks, we're going to dissect the process known as notary deposition and show you a couple of ways to use it. And what a potent evidentiary a tool in the arsenal. What a weapon it is in our hands.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, friends, even foes. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thank you for joining me tonight. You're listening to Take No Prisoners. That email to contact Roberta is Roberta T, as in Thomas, at hush.com. And she would send you out a registration form for the Law Merchant Leadership Conference. The first day of the conference, we explore the BIC instruments in detail and the fiduciary instructions, which, by the way, have been recently rewritten. There is some new technology in there, and it is potent. And that's all I can really say in it at this point. But that's a good, solid first day. The second day, we explore the various stage one methods of presenting them. Stage one is the presentment of these documents, including the comprehensive administrative remedy with all its bells and whistles, confession of judgment, stipulated facts, and many, many others. Then days three, four, and five, we explore the hellfire enforcement strategies, and then we start discussing cases in our case presentation laboratory. And that's where technology like this literally gets invented. As you see, when you start talking about a particular situation and you bring together good minds, it starts to branch off and the tree grows before your eyes. There are a million ways you can use the greatest power you have, the greatest technical power you have, which is proof of claim, shifting proof of claim to the other guy and putting him in a situation where he's either a third-party defendant, in other words, the assumed liable party, or any other scenario where he believes he will be brought in under oath to answer the tough questions. It could, bringing him in could be done by way of a subpoena, a summons, a subpoena of his records, a bill of particulars, and last but not least, a notary deposition. Let me read you from the New York State notary law. Every attorney, every notary public duly qualified is hereby authorized and empowered within and throughout the state to administer oaths and affirmations, to take affidavits and depositions, to receive and serve acknowledgement, blah, blah, blah. To take depositions. Now, this may take me a moment to find. I just thought of something that I'd like to share with you. Those Massachusetts statutes that we were just talking about, I believe I can place my hands on those relatively quickly. Here we are. This is available to anyone on the web, of course. And I'm going to quickly show you just how powerful in some states notary is. I consider the notary to be the most powerful officer in the state. I realize many people think the sheriff is, but we're using notaries, and we're sure not using sheriffs successfully, are we? There are a couple, but not many. MRCP 45, issue subpoenas. This is Massachusetts. Let's see if we can find it in here. Every subpoena shall be issued by the clerk of court, by a notary public, or by a justice of the peace, shall state the name of the court, blah, 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 blah. And you'll find in some of these states that it actually states the notary has the same power of summons or subpoena or both as a judge. Now, I'm not sure that's ever been tested, but it literally means if I was the notary, I would go so far as to hold someone in contempt and make an official demand upon the court to either send them to jail for contempt. I might even attempt that myself, or to move it to a criminal contempt scenario. MGL C-233, Section 1. A clerk of court of record, a notary public, or a justice of the peace may issue summonses for witnesses in all cases pending before courts, magistrates, auditors, referees, arbiters, or other persons authorized to examine witnesses, and at all hearings upon applications for complaints wherein a person may be charged with the commission of a crime. And then there's a disclaimer that not for witnesses in criminal cases, except upon request of the attorney general, district attorney, or other person who acts in the case in behalf of the Commonwealth or of the defendant. Imagine that. So if you as a defendant are in a criminal case and you issue a letter to the notary in one paragraph saying, I would like you to issue a summons for the clerk of court to appear to answer questions in this case, as a third-party defendant, you now are using their statutes to bolster your case. Now, let me just say that notary deposition, the way we as patriots are using it, generally is being used for our own deposition. We call ourselves in. We have a prearranged script. The notary asks questions. We issue answers. It's all written. We even give a copy to anyone who would attend. I've never had a single attendee come to a notary deposition. But it can also be used to summon other parties in and place them under proof of claim. Imagine the power. Imagine the fun. We'll pick up this topic in 3 minutes after the break. Folks, please join me. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and this is Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Now, friends, we just discovered that in the state, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, a notary can call in a criminal case a deposition, can summon witnesses for a deposition if it's requested by the defendant. Hey, folks, you don't see the humor in that? My goodness, the fun we could have. Remember, this program is for entertainment purposes only, and I don't think I've heard a stand-up act as good as that. Chapter 233, Section 1 of the General Laws of Massachusetts. So let's relate this to VIC. You play, and I'm going to attempt to show just how many variations and creative strategies you can come up with in a matter of 5 or 10 minutes, how easy it is. So let's say our next break is going to be in about 5 minutes. So let's see what we can do in that 5 minute period of time for creating new technology. Let us say that, you've been involved in a case and you have BIC instruments which have been duly presented by a notary to a clerk of court and a judge as co-fiduciaries, maybe another one to the sheriff's department, or a follow-up advisory to the sheriff's department with with an original filed and certified copy of the notary certificate on that first process to the clerk and judge that they are in default on the instrument and they have confessed to being the successor surety for that defendant, which means they are the third-party defendants. They've confessed to it. And we pass that along to the sheriffs with another notary's process, notary's letter of due presentment. By the way, here is a bonded promissory note for you, letting you know that you're bonded now. And here's a copy of the indemnity bond, perhaps, showing that the statute is bonded. Here is the confession that they are the sureties and I'm not. And now you feel like you're stalled. Well, needless to say, if you've been listening to the program, you already know that you, that I certainly in my case, in all of my cases, any case that I would have any influence over, I would immediately go to Treasury liquidation after perhaps a three-day offer of immunity to the other parties. And there are some other new technologies that I would do as well, which I am not prepared to really discuss on the air, but we'll cover at the conference in August. But in addition, we could send in a three-day offer of immunity, which says, "Dear sir, I'd like to give you 3 days in which to disprove the assumption that this party or that you have participated in the theft of funds from the Admiralty. Here is a copy. Here is an affidavit of negative averment to allow you the opportunity to disprove that presumption. And by the way, here is a proposed draft, unsigned copy of a summons to be issued by notary public such and such for your appearance under penalty of perjury to disprove the assumption, to identify the location of the funds and disprove the assumption that you have participated in the theft of funds last seen in your possession from the Admiralty for personal profit and gain. Please advise me within 72 hours whether or not you would like me to file whether or not you would like the notary to issue the subpoena, or would you prefer to or please provide a settlement statement indicating that the payment has been duly posted to the account. In other words, what would you like me to file? Would you like me to file the criminal complaint? Would you like me to file the letter with the notary requesting that she issue summons against you to come into this case? Or would you simply like to send me some kind of a certified accounting of the entire case? Your choice, ma'am. You decide. Now, imagine if they dishonor the notary. Might they attempt criminal charges against the notary? Of course. But they are going to think very, very heavily against them if it's done right. Against that, if it's done right, because the notary is acting within her authority. And in that case, the notary would use the statutory authority right in the opening letter and say, based upon the authority granted me under Chapter 233, Section 1 of Massachusetts General Laws, please find attached here to summons and to appear at a deposition on such and such a date and notice of taking deposition. And she would issue the notice of taking deposition, which is included, by the way, in the notary deposition recourse on the Rockland CD. That's the Rockland, Massachusetts seminar. That's available through Roberta at robertat@hush.com. It's also included. We cover this. We're going to be covering this topic even more heavily, at the next Law Merchant Leadership Conference in August. The point is, it's that easy. Two or three pieces of paper to put the third-party defendant under pressure to disprove, to identify a defect in United States certification that they have already confessed judgment or that they are the liable party or that they have confessed to being the successor surety. It's that easy in the public to wake them up. And it's not that easy for them to walk all over someone who knows what he's doing with procedures like this. I am not recommending these procedures to anyone. I certainly pray every day that controversies will wind up being non-controversies settled in public policy so that rogue judges simply melt into the woodwork as they discover that we are doing them a service. And one of the services we're doing is we're depositing massive amounts of funds to the United States Treasury. We're not extracting funds from, we are depositing to. Someone said to me today, what do you mean you're putting funds in? What's the source of the funds? And I held up my pen. That's the source of the funds, my signature. And I gave them a very quick explanation of public money and public policy. And those are simple principles to understand. And once you do, you understand that as a living man, you are truly making a donation to the United States Treasury. There are other ways to do that as well. And we may cover some of that material at the Law Merchants Leadership Conference also. However, if you keep an eye on the financial fictional statistics, you will find that despite the fact that gas prices have gone through the roof, meaning the currency has deflated, because I assure you that a barrel of oil still has the exact same value to the penny in ounces of gold. Despite that, interest rates have not increased and inflation, the indexes of inflation have not increased. But what you're going to find is, I'm predicting, I could be wrong, but I'm predicting over the next 12 months, you will see a sudden disappearance before the election of the so-called U.S. deficit, the same way it was influenced a number of years ago when the redemption process first took hold. Because massive amounts of funds are being deposited with Treasury. They are under statutory mandate to identify a defect and dishonor with cause any such instrument within, I believe it's 15 days, and they've never dishonored one that I have ever seen in all my years. So that's just a quick heads up on notary deposition. Now, let me tell you, it hasn't been used that way. Those patriots who are using it use it to summon themselves in, and that's fine. And in that case, what we would do is we would request that the notary hold deposition. And let me see if I can actually find our packet from Rockland on that. Here it is. And it has an actual sample deposition, but there's also a second file which has all of the notary's papers, starting with a notice of taking deposition, and that notice goes out. It's explained there, but it's quite straightforward. It goes out to all the parties who might want to be present during the deposition. They never show. And so after the deposition, after the notary reads the questions and the patriot answers the questions, those questions and answers being restricted exclusively to the public policy actions that have unfolded. In other words, on such and such a date, I tendered this payment. On such and such a date, agent of the United, of the Secretary of State, of the state of whatever, certified the other party's stipulation to the value and validity of the instrument, acceptance of the instrument, their status as holder in due course, and that their stipulation to being the successor surety. And you would put all of that into the record. And now the notary, after the procedure, signs a copy of that deposition. The deponent signs a copy. The notary issues a let me just find that so I'll give you the exact name of it. I believe issues a statement of certification and authentication at the end. Many of the depositions in the public that I've seen actually have that certification on the front of depositions. But either way, they certify the following. I, a duly authorized notary public of the state of whatever, do hereby certify that prior to the commencement of the examination of the witness, Sam Kennedy, for instance, a living, breathing Christian man appearing in rerum natura, was asked by me to speak the truth, the whole truth, blah, blah, blah. I do further certify that the foregoing is a true and accurate transcript of the deposition, etc. I do further certify that I am neither a relative nor employee nor attorney, etc. Now, what I would add to that is that I would make a bigger point of the fact that certain parties were asked to attend or were summoned to the deposition and failed to show and are in default and agreement thereof, or were issued warning that their failure to show would comprise their agreement with all the terms of the deposition. Now, other than a direct oral sworn statement in court, that deposition is the highest form of testimony. The notary sends it in with specific requests to place it in the evidence file, and I ask you, my friends, where do they go from there? We have seen numerous cases turn around on those points. We have seen them boxed into a corner and back off for a year and come back with a redraft from another party, since the party that you secured the dishonor on can no longer be involved in the scenario. And as you know, they keep trying and keep trying. That's where they are dishonorable instead of fully recognizing the administrative results as being a permanent estoppel. And that's due to our failure to enforce it by showing them we're willing to bring them in under summons, under subpoena, under notary summons and notary subpoena, under deposition, by way of a criminal complaint, a civil complaint, a summons with a civil complaint, a demand for a bill of particulars. You know, if you're waiting a year for public policy to work, for Treasury to do its job, although I don't think it takes that long, then all of these things are available to you. So we have failed to show them that we mean business, that they're coming in under oath. So what do? They see that weakness, and they have absolutely no reason, no credible reason, not to attempt to redraft you and have you stipulate to the termination of your previous administrative process. And so they send you something else. Well, in response to your request to have a hearing, I didn't request a hearing, so now they want you to argue. And they'll always do that, as you know. We'll hold a special hearing for you to come in and explain your claim and for the Department of whatever to explain its claim. What claim? They already stipulated there is no claim, but are you going to argue that? No. Call a notary deposition and watch all of the threats. You have 30 days to respond. If you fail to appear at the hearing, we are going to file it in this particular administrative court, workers' comp, tax, whatever it is. But somehow they never put it in there because they know there's a deposition on file that they failed to attend. And they will always fail to attend because they don't want to give credence to your process, even when a public official is holding it, and they sure don't want to be in the position of you saying to them, did you bring an answer to my affidavit? Did you bring the bill of particulars? That letter you said here, are you willing to state that under oath? I mean, there's a million things that they do that are stupid. And I love those stupid events, because I can make any public official choke to death on them, short of them putting me in chains, in solitary, and a bullet in my head. And if they do that, they probably understand that there are 15 people waiting to take my place. The point I'm trying to make is that you should not be afraid to stand up in commerce and use the best jurisdictional argument you ever had, which is, I am a creditor in commerce. I'm willing to, and in fact, I have paid all debts. You have already certified your agreement. I wouldn't be telling them this, of course. Anything like that in any dialogue at all would be by negative averment. Is there a defect in my counterclaim? Excuse me, ma'am, have you identified a defect in the United States certification issued by the Secretary of State's agent, Ms. Jane Doe, on such and such a date that the man standing over there has defaulted on this process? And if not, why are you letting him speak? Are you stepping down off the bench and joining him? That's how easy it is. You just have to know who you are. Mike, who called earlier, I hope that answers the question. And a question like that can never have a simple answer. and notary deposition, the use of a notary public is, you know, it's like a set of dice if you shoot craps. It's like cards if you play poker. It's like a keyboard if you're a piano player. It's that notary is your curriculum. That notary is your best friend. And therefore, you want to do it right. You want to protect that notary. You want to ensure that you don't put statements in the notary's mouth. By the way, speaking of protecting notaries and using notaries, if you need a notary, simply send a blank email that says, I need a notary, to Notary Depot, D-E-P-O-T, not D-E-P-O, D-E-P-O-T, at hush.com. And there are notaries manning that site who will see about assisting you. If you're a notary, send an email, I'm a notary, in the subject line saying city and state. We'll pick that up after the break, folks. We're going to have a short break, and we'll see you then.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, my friends. This is the final segment of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, we covered a lot of technology tonight. We only have about 3 minutes left from what I see. Let me just confirm that. And I hope that this was a meaningful program for you. I hope that just looking at this one piece of technology of the many that we review at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference starts to stimulate your creative juices, because there's not a technology available to you that can't be reworked and modified to new heights of grandeur, and which also can't be applied in ways and in situations that were never dreamt of by those folks who paid a heavy price to conceive the technology. And believe me, there are many people who paid dearly for many of the things that we have at our beck and call today. Excuse me. I hope in time that we have served to stimulate your creative juices, and more importantly, to stimulate your wisdom, so that you decide that it maybe isn't as important to be pushing your freedom as you thought it was, but rather to be selectively choosing those scenarios where it is critical to verify who you are, and to folks, excuse me for 1 second. We may have a medical emergency right here in my house. My apologies. Could we have some music, please? Apologies for that. I have a guest here who was choking, and we had to do a Heimlich maneuver. This has been some kind of day. So, as I was saying, please select your battles carefully. Try and remember what's really important in life. And I would suggest that your relationship with God is the most important element of your life, and your relationship with your family is the next most important relationship, the next most important condition of your life. So I do hope that if you're part of a group out there that has shifted over to BIC, you'll be able to send representatives to join me. One or two would be great. Two or more is ideal. At the Law Merchant Leadership Conference in Albany, New York, April 2nd through the 6th, it's extremely comprehensive, but the last 3 days are pretty exciting as we start to dissect these kinds of things and show people that they have an unlimited number of tools at their disposal. Thank you for joining me. You've been listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Please join me next Sunday night at 9 p.m. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and it is my pleasure to be able to serve you. Have a great week and a healthy week. God bless.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source